Welcome to church, and we are just going to continue our study this morning. And I want to encourage you to have your notepad, have your Bible, your writing material. Let's study together. By the way, tomorrow is School of Prayer. Amen. Are you aware? Okay, you should know already. Amen. Every last week of the month, we have a time of praying as a church, gathering together to pray through the week. Glory to God. And so I want to encourage full participation. I want to encourage that you make yourself available for those times of prayer. For those who struggle to make it to this place during the week because of traffic or whatever, you have access online to join us in, and on Saturday, we all should make it to the venue. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you excited about School of Prayer? You should be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Alright, so no condemnation. This is part 5. Romans in chapter 8. Let's continue from where we stopped last week. Romans 8. Romans 8 and from verse 28 to 39. Okay, I think I need a handkerchief. Glory to God. I thought it was too cold until we started jumping. Hallelujah. We are still feeling cold. It's because you didn't participate. Glory to God. Romans 8 from verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we know, hallelujah, we know. We're not guessing. We don't just assume. We don't just think or wish that all things work together for good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29. For whom he foreknew, thank you. For whom he foreknew, this he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, this he also called. Whom he called, this he also justified. And whom he justified, this he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Bible now says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. So let's start writing. Last week we saw from this text of the Bible. Last week we saw from this text of the Bible. Last week we saw from this text of the Bible that Paul began to ask vital questions. 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 As he wraps up the discussion, on our justification in Christ. You know that this was where the major discourse on justification by faith that began, particularly at chapter 3, this was where it really ended. Amen. The other places you're going to find this, you find Romans chapter 9 was in contrast to how the Jews were not seeking righteousness by faith and the Gentiles have obtained righteousness. Then Romans 10 again still about Israel, but the major discourse of righteousness, justification by faith started Romans 3, and then this is where Paul really begins to wrap up the discourse on this fact. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then we saw the first question Paul asked is, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? You expected to be writing as I'm dictating. All right. So that the first question Paul asked is, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Now, this is a strong defense against the adversary. This is a strong defense. You remember last week? It's a strong defense. When we say God is for us, and we know it for a fact, God is for me, who can be against us? This is a strong defense against what? Against the adversary. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Isaiah 54. A strong defense. We also saw, you know, that the second question was, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? So that the word charge means to accuse. How many accusers of the brethren do we have? I'm asking a question. How many accusers of the brethren do we have? One. Who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan. But you know, he uses men, right? He raises men. For example, at John 8, those who accused the woman were physical people. Amen. Men. Natural men. But the person behind the scene was Satan. So, Satan is the accuser of the brethren and is the one with whom we have to contend with for the rest of our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Alright, Isaiah 54. We're also going to see today how that the accuser of the brethren does not go to God to accuse us. Amen. It's not that Satan goes to God to say, come and see what this person has done. That is exactly what Romans 8 is saying. It is impossible to bring a charge before God. So the accusing work of Satan happens in the minds of men. So when the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, it's not saying Satan goes to accuse us before God. No. The accusation is in our mind. The accusation is in your mind, is in your senses. The enemy is pointing accusing fingers at you in your mind. That's why, listen, the empowerment of righteousness or being established in righteousness is to your favor. It is to the end that you are able to silence every accuser. Glory to God. What I'm saying in essence is that it is not God that does the silencing of the accuser. You don't say, I'm feeling accused, I'm feeling condemned, God, do something about it. It is your work. It is your job. Glory to God. To do what? To silence every accusing tongue. It's not God's job. What has God done? He has justified you. Hallelujah. So let me give a layman's illustration. You go to court and then you are acquitted. Then as you are walking out of the court, somebody begins to point accusing fingers at you. Do you go and meet the judge to prove your case? No. You have been given the ability or the authority to do what? To dismiss every accusation. So what God gave you is a legal ground for dismissing the accusation of the enemy. Hallelujah. So, what has God done again? Let's all chorus. What has God done again? He has justified us. Hallelujah. So, knowing that justification is what empowers you to wage war against every accusation of the enemy. Is this right? So, it is God's work to justify. It is your work to silence the accuser. Isaiah 54. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's start from verse 9 again. For this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, So have I sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, and my kindness shall not, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. O you afflicted one tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Verse 14, let's all read together. Again, verse 14, let's read together. In righteousness you shall be what? In righteousness you shall be what? So who establishes us in righteousness? God. So look at the next thing. What is the consequence of that? And you shall be what? Far from oppression, for you shall not fear. And from terror, for he shall not come near you. So what is your defense really against the enemy? Righteousness. Hallelujah. Your justification. The fact that God has said you are righteous in his sight, that is your defense against the adversary. Glory to God. So in righteousness you shall be what? Established. And because of this, consequent, you shall now be what? Far from oppression. Glory to God. And you know, the oppression is defined in this context. Because the oppression is the work of the enemy, in the which he raises accusations against men. In the which he raises accusation, tongues wagging against you, in spite of who you are in Christ. So you must learn to understand your nature so you can have the right posture against these things. Glory to God. There are Christians who the only reason why they will not make progress in the faith is because they are falling for the deception of the enemy. They've fallen prey. They've yielded their minds to accusations. Amen. Accusations. Some Christians are so downcast because of their actions. You know, I said last week that accusations are always right. That is, when you are accused of what you have done, it is accusing you of what you really did. Glory to God. Your wrongs. And that's why accusation has a very strong force. If you were guiltless, you have no reason to be afraid. But the reason why accusation is strong is because people are really guilty of what they've done. So when they brought the woman to Jesus, she wasn't defending herself because she was really what? Guilty. You know, if they had caught her, if they had accused her falsely, she would have been able to defend herself without Jesus. But the reason why she was helpless was because she was really guilty. Glory to God. So what righteousness empowers you against is to stand your ground in spite of your flaws. Glory to God. Let's put that in our notes. What righteousness empowers us against? What righteousness empowers us or empowers us for? What righteousness empowers us for is to stand our ground in spite of our flaws. Hallelujah. What righteousness empowers us for is to stand our ground in spite of our flaws. Glory be to God. Let me ask you a question, and I need an answer. So you answer me by raising your hand. Is there anybody in this room today that has no single flaw? Let me see your hand. No single flaw. If you look at your life, there's nothing you have done wrong. I'm not talking past tense, so you see, before I met Jesus. No, after you met Jesus. Is there anybody in this room that is blameless in his works, sinless in his works, that is not guilty of anything? Glory to God. Anybody? Okay. So that is where the enemy is empowered. Do you get what I'm saying? That is what empowers the enemy. No matter how minute. You know, many times when we talk about being guilty or being sinful or missing it in our work, we're not talking about everything. You see, even before you met Jesus, you were not committing every sin, were you? If you have met anybody who embodies the work of the flesh, that's Satan himself. That we look at you, we say, this is Galatians 5:19. Praise God. this boy. It does not exist. So, the truth is, we don't do the same things. We don't commit the same errors. But when I said, how many of you are without flaws, you could look at your life and see certain areas. Some of you could just be something as simple as an outburst of wrath, the way you nag people. Amen. In fact, some folks are so void of sympathy that if you are trying to walk through this place and you now trip and you fall, instead of saying sorry, you know what they'll say? Ah, can't you see? Didn't you see? What made you fall there? See, that kind of person, that's his own flaw. Hallelujah. That's his own flaw. Some people, if they see you, you know, come to the church moody, and then they're trying to engage you and you're not responding well, you say, you should get lost, Jerry. Who is he, sir? Amen. That's his own flaw. Hallelujah. Now, there are other issues, you know. Issues like express instructions Jesus gave us. Go into the world and preach. When last did you preach? Amen. When last did you share your faith? Do you know not sharing your faith is a sin? Let's ask again. Do you know not sharing your faith is a sin? Is it an instruction to share our faith? Is it a command to go and share our faith? Is it an instruction to intercede for others? When you don't do it, what are you doing? You are sinning. Hallelujah. So that's where the enemy is empowered. Is it an instruction to pray every day? Yeah. So that's where the enemy is empowered. Because there are flaws. There are wrongs. There could be two or three in your life at the moment if we are to start taking stock. So the enemy is empowered. And he brings accusations. Amen. So what are you meant to learn? You are meant to learn that in spite of all those things, you have a standing ground. You have a standing with God that cannot be altered. Hallelujah. See, irrespective of what you have done or what you are doing, there's a ground for justification. And it will not change. Hallelujah. God corrects, God instructs us, and one of the ways to separate the voice of the spirit and the voice of the world, flesh, and all that around you is to see how correction is made to you. You've not read your Bible for so long, and then the thought that comes to your mind is, you're very useless. You're very useless. You can never make progress. You will never make progress. This life you have chosen, praise God. Now, that's not the voice of the Spirit of God. It can never be. Do you know what the Spirit of God would rather say? Pick your Bible now and read. Praise God. Instead of nursing guilt over not reading your Bible, just pick your Bible and start reading. Instead of nursing guilt over not praying, just start praying. Hallelujah. So, there's the voice of correction. There's the voice of accusation. Which seeks to condemn. There are two different things. God by his spirit would always correct, instruct. He will never accuse or condemn. He will never. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 5. Look at what Jesus said. You will never find condemnation or accusation in the spirit of God or from the spirit of God. That's why you must know your place with God. God is for me. Means he's always on my side. Hallelujah. Is my father. He cares for me. He desires the best. So God will not talk down on you. God will rather uphold you, edify you, strengthen you. Glory to God. John chapter 5, look at this now. Look at what Jesus said. John 5. And I'll read from verse 39. You said the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. For if another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another, and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Verse 45, let's all read together. Do not think that I shall what? accuse you to the Father, there is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. So, would you find accusation in Christ? He says, don't think I would accuse you before the Father. Let's put in a note. The voice of accusation will never be that of Christ. The voice of accusation will never be that of Christ. Hallelujah. Conviction, yes. Persuasion, yes. Correction, yes. But accusation, no. You will not find it in Christ. The voice of accusation will never be that of Christ. It is found in the law of Moses. It is found in the law of Moses. It is found in the law of Moses. You know, it is the law that shuts every mouth before God. Romans 3:19. Whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world guilty in the sight of God. For we know that the law, whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may stand guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So you will never find the voice of accusation in Christ. It is not of Christ. It is not of God. What you will find is persuasion, conviction, correction, but you will not find accusation in Christ. That's how to know. Whatever voice is speaking to you. See, in the world, there are many voices. Hallelujah. Many voices. That's why it's wrong to just, you know, receive something in your mind and you say, the Spirit of God said to me. The Spirit of God. Before you say the Spirit of God said, you must test what you heard by the Word of God. Because there are many spirits. Hallelujah. So back to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54. So see how Isaiah begins to lay this down. He says, in righteousness you shall be established, and you shall be far from what? Oppression. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely gather, assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall do what? Fall for your sake. Hallelujah. The oppression is found in this assembling. What are they assembling to do? Look at verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in what? In judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So what is found in the assembly of men who assemble against you, it is what? Condemnation. Hallelujah. So look at your Bibles now. Who does the condemning of every tongue that rises against us? God or you? Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall what? So, when Bible says no weapon formed against you, it is not to now develop prayer points and begin to pray against weapons formed against us. The weapons formed against us in this context are words of accusation. Tongues rising against us in judgment. And Bible says you are now to what? To condemn them. Hallelujah. Why are you meant to do this? It says, this is your heritage. Hallelujah. It is your what? It's your heritage. What is that heritage? The righteousness of God. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of God, and their righteousness is from me. So God has justified you. Every accusation you can stand against and resist, based on your justification in Christ. Hallelujah. So it's my heritage. It's something I have. It's my possession. That now empowers me and harms me to be able to look at the adversary and tell him to go to hell. Hallelujah. That's what we're saying. But see, that's why if you don't understand your place, the enemy will now make a mess of you. Hallelujah. And cheat you. And then, you know, accuse you, condemn you, make you feel battered for the rest of your life. Because, listen, God will not lift a finger to do anything to the adversary. What he could have done, he has done in Christ. Hallelujah. And what did he do in Christ? He justified you. So who is it that condemns? It is Christ that died. who also intercedes for us. Who is he that brings a charge? Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is God that does what? That justifies. Hallelujah. So, the work of silencing the accuser is whose work? Let's put in our notes. God has empowered me. God has empowered me to silence the accuser. God has empowered me to silence the accuser by the gift of righteousness. God has empowered me to silence the accuser by the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. God has empowered me to do what? By the gift of righteousness. We're still writing. I become more effective in dismissing every accusation. I become effective in dismissing every accusation. Become more effective in dismissing every accusation to the degree, oh hallelujah, to the degree that I am grounded in the knowledge of my righteousness. To the degree that I am grounded in the knowledge of my righteousness. Hallelujah. To the degree that I am grounded in the knowledge of my righteousness. Glory to God. Let me give you practical scenarios. Whenever you find yourself struggling to pray because of your attitude in the time past, or because of something that is still plaguing you and you cannot pray, you come to the gathering of the saints with a heavy heart. Lift up holy hands. Is my hand really that holy? Praise God. And you can't lift it high, strongly. Say, sing unto the Lord. Your worship is accepted. Say, I'm not sure. Amen. I have to first plead the blood. After pleading the blood, I ask for forgiveness. Then God will now begin to accept my praises. You're already under the ministry of the devil. You have received the ministry of accusation. Hallelujah. Listen well. Whenever you find yourself maybe sick in your body, and then in your mind you're already feeling you really deserve it, because in the past few weeks or months you've not been prayerful, you are under the ministry of accusation. Hallelujah. If I had prayed, who told you if you had prayed, you might not have fallen sick? Yeah, hello? Who told you if you had been praying, you might not have fallen sick? Glory to God. Look at this. Philippians. You might have been prayerful and you still fall sick. Amen. It depends. It depends on how you treat your body. Do you know when it comes to healing or working in health, it is not just about prayer. It depends on how you treat your body. You can pray and pray and pray and pray till you see Jesus. Literally. Hallelujah. A young man fasted for 46 days or so. On the 45th day, you need to see his body. It was like a cadaver. His skeletons were outside. He wants to see God. Hallelujah. You can fast and pass away. Amen. Pass away. You can serve Jesus till your body begins to break down. Amen. Sometimes I'm done with church service. Somebody comes to meet me. Pastor, after the main service, I have meetings with people. Then as I'm on my way out, Pastor, can I quickly see you? You cannot see me. Praise God. You cannot see me. I've not slept yesterday. Praise God. In seeing you, I might collapse. And I would say, Pastor, within the pastor collapse. Yes. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in 18 vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Elisha fell sick and died. His bones raised the dead. Can you fathom that? The excellency of the power is of God. Hallelujah. See, you can finish healing meeting and go home and sleep and be called to glory. If you don't manage your body or manage your health. How many of you do exercises? It's for carnal men. Praise God. Ah, oh God. Exercises for carnal men. No, I said, I was using them in this place. I said, very soon, we're going to get equipment for exercising our bodies and put them somewhere there. And I said, ah, really? I hope that will not be going against, going against what? Mofa said, praise God. If you want to do, you do. If you don't want to do, go. Going against what? Hallelujah. Exercise your body. Because those are major things that determine, you know, how your body will be strong and healthy. Hallelujah. There's a bad habit I've been trying to cure myself of. Every morning I don't eat until maybe it's past 12 or 1 or 2. And then, you know, people glory in such things. I don't eat. You don't eat. Praise God. You know, they told me one of the consequences of that is that in your old age, you can suffer dementia. Healthy. Your brain has been starved most of the times, most of the number of years you've lived. So, see, who told you that if you were very prayerful, you might not have fallen sick? Depends on many things. But then the voice of accusation will say, because you did not pray, because you did not study, that's the reason why your body is getting tired. That's the reason why. See, I believe in healing power. I believe in working in good health. I believe in all these things. I'm saying also that the fact that you are committed does not mean you're exempted from bodily weakness at all. So, but the voice of accusation will capitalize on your defaults and your deficiency in that area and say it's because of that you are falling sick. Philippians chapter 3, look at this now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That man of God never fell sick till he died. So why did he die? Did you get it? Everybody that dies fell sick. It's either a part of your body shut down. People don't just die. Hallelujah. So there's something called aging. By the time you start to age, your body organs begin to shut down. Nobody dies healthy. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. It's called mortality. Glory to God. Uh-huh. Philippians in chapter 3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sorry, Philippians chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 25. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and all sort men in esteem, because for the work of Christ, verse 30, let's all read together. Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. This man fell sick in the service of Christ. For the work of Christ, he came close to death. He almost died because he was very committed. Serving. And you know, this service to Christ involved, you know, ministering to Paul, running errands, doing things. Running errands. He deprived himself of rest as he should. He was doing the work of many people because he was the only person waiting upon Paul. And you know, the fact that he was the service of Christ did not exempt him from falling sick. Hallelujah. You don't say, well, if you labor like this in your secular field, you will fall sick. But if it is church, no, God has your back. No. If it is church, you will also fall sick. If you don't sleep as you should, you don't eat as you should, you will fall sick. If you don't rest like you should, you will fall sick. You read through the ministry of Jesus, after disciples have gone out, the Bible says, he will call them to come and rest. Hallelujah. Because the body is mortal. The body is mortal, so the body can fall sick. So I'm saying to you, how did we get here? That the voice of accusation will say, because you've not done this or this or this, you deserve what you are going through. And the moment you embrace that, you will not even know how to resist the enemy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There are those who believe that God is the one that has put sickness on their bodies because of their attitude in the past. Amen. As a Christian woman, you committed abortion while on campus or while you were still a teenager, and now you are struggling to conceive, and then your mind is saying, well, it's because of the times you committed abortion. God only gave you 2 children in this life. Hallelujah. And you committed 2 abortions. So that means the children God has given you, you have killed. Amen. So because of that, you will not have children. Only for you to find out a prostitute that has been giving birth freely. Praise God. Voice of accusation. Based on what you have done or what you have not done, you deserve this that you are going through. And that's oppression. That's the oppression of Satan. Hallelujah. The moment you fall for that crap, then you have given him an inroad to torment you. An inroad to torment you and to do, you know, to mess your mind up. So the Bible says, every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you, hallelujah, the onus is on you. You shall condemn. You don't wait for God to come and do something, because God already did something to empower you to condemn every accusation. Glory be to God. Back to Romans chapter 8. Are you still here? Romans 8. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Hallelujah. It is Christ who did what? Who died. Who also makes intercession for us. What is the intercessory work of Jesus? Hallelujah. You know, because this might sound contradictory. Christ is making intercession. So every time you fall into sin, Jesus now says, God, please, don't do this to them. Father, don't do this. Remember my blood. Hallelujah. Just look at the cross. Amen. Somebody gave a vision one time, said she fell into a trance and she saw a vision of heaven, that the only reason why we have not been destroyed is because of Jesus is on his knees. Hallelujah. That if he gets up from his knees, God will do what he wants to do. But Jesus is on his knees pleading, saying, remember the cross. Remember the cross. I plead with you one more time. Just remember the cross. Hallelujah. Amazing. If Jesus is on his knees, the Father is also on his knees. Praise God. Because they are one. Hallelujah. The intercessory work of Jesus speaks of what he did in order to solve the sin problem. And it's a once for all thing. It's not something he continues to do. It is something he already did to solve the sin problem. Isaiah 53. Look at this now. Isaiah chapter 53. Something Jesus did to solve the sin problem. Glory to God. Sin has been interceded for by the sacrifice of Jesus. Sin has been solved. The problem of sin has been solved by the sacrifice of Jesus. That's why he died. Isaiah 53, and I'll read from verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many. And he did what? He made intercession for the transgressors. Hallelujah. What did Jesus do in his death? He made intercession for the transgressors. Let's put in a note. Jesus already made intercession. Jesus already made intercession by his sacrifice. Jesus already made intercession by his sacrifice. Jesus already made intercession by his sacrifice. Hallelujah. Made intercession by his sacrifice. And that is why the spirit within us today, listen, the spirit within us today, Bible calls that spirit another comforter, which is the word translated advocate. When you read 1 John 2:1-2, little children, I write these things to you so that you may not sin. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He himself is the propitiation for our sins. How did Jesus intercede or advocate for us? By giving us the indwelling spirit. You see, that indwelling spirit is Jesus' intercession. Hallelujah. So that, see, the man that has the Spirit of God is the man that belongs to God. You see that? So it is not that God just said, from today, you are not guilty. The sign or the proof of you not being guilty is the Spirit of God within you. Hallelujah. So that when God looks at you, he sees his Spirit. Those are those who have been redeemed and saved and justified. Glory to God. So we have the Spirit of God within us, and that is the advocacy. That is the intercession. Hallelujah. Why is this the intercession? Because the Spirit within you is a seal until the day of redemption. So there's no way, listen, there's no way sin will ever come in between you and God. Because God has already sealed you by his Spirit until the last day. Hallelujah. When we say, this man used to belong to God, but now he no longer belongs to God, what are we saying? We are saying the Spirit of God is no longer with him. That's the implication. But because of the impossibility of this in Christ, there will never be a day when the believer will be void of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, wait, you might not feel like it. I don't really feel the Holy Ghost is still here. It is not in your feelings. It's in what the word says. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and verse 9, but you are not in the flesh. Where are you? In the Spirit. Are you in church? We are not in the flesh. Where are we? If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Hallelujah. How long will the Spirit of God abide with you and I? Forever. Is it forever? Now that's the intercession of God. Hallelujah. Listen. This is how God has helped you. That's what we are saying. Say, how will God help me out of this sin problem? He gave you his Spirit. That's how God helped sinners to become righteous. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And then we'll go to John 16. The help of God to us, the intercession of God, that which empowers us every time to resist the adversary, is the fact that we have been made to belong to God in an eternal way by his Spirit. God is always for me because I am joined to the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is what? Is one Spirit. Are you one Spirit with God? For how long? Hallelujah. See, as long as that reality stands, you are a man for whom Jesus has interceded. Hallelujah. Jesus has come true for you. Hallelujah. Jesus has what? He has come true for you. 1 Corinthians 6. Look at this now. By the Spirit of God, who've been justified. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by what? By the Spirit of our God. How were we justified? By the Spirit of our God. How were we washed? How were we sanctified? By the Spirit of our God. What is the singular gift we received when we met Jesus? The Spirit of God. That is the intercession of God. Hallelujah. See, that is how God has helped us from the sin problem. When we say a man is righteous in the sight of God today, we mean that man has been marked different by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:13-14. God is on my side, and God is on your side at all times. On your good days, on your bad days, your worst moments, your best moments, God is always for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, sometimes you find Christians throwing tantrums at God. I've seen such cases. And then you find other Christians who are uncles of God. Stop it. Oh, Beruni. Hallelujah. Our God is a consuming fire. Don't try it again, no. Who sent you to parent God's children like that? The reason why he's throwing tantrums is because something is wrong with his mind. So what is the way out? We have to, by the word of God, reset his mind. We have to teach line upon line, precept upon precept. Hallelujah. When an atheist, for instance, begins to say, God, he's stupid, he's this and that, I bow out of the argument. There's no substance anymore. Praise God. I just leave the argument. Because this one is funny. You said he does not exist and you said he's stupid. They don't make sense. Hallelujah. An inexistent person cannot be stupid. So when they start saying all this, just leave the argument. He has run out of substance. Hallelujah. So, but in all the arguments, what are we meant to be doing? Educate. Say what the word says. Show men scriptures. How much more for a man who is already in Christ? Hallelujah. For many reasons, people get angry sometimes. I was having a discussion with a young lady who said, all her life, she was hated in church. All her life, she never felt loved by anybody in church. Why? She said because of her sexual orientation. She had this, what's the word now? Bisexual or something. And I said, well, I don't know about how you were treated, but I know I can help you out of this condition. We won't have to condemn you. We won't have to say you are evil, you are this and that, but I can help you out of this situation. And then we're going to talk about it. But you see, there are people who all through their lives, really in church, they've never felt loved. So when you say Christianity is about the love of God, they will just look at you. Because the Christianity they experienced is not the biblical one. Hallelujah. Yeah. Look at Brother Perez now. Before he joined this church, he said in his former church, which is also in this area, he said that one time, I mean, he had served faithfully as a leader, youth leader or something. He served faithfully, doing the work of God, very passionate. This guy will have become an atheist now, I'm sure, because he's too intelligent for religion. Praise God. So, after doing all that, one day was now hungry in the church. And walked up to one of the pastors. Ah, pastor, I need money to eat. And the pastor said, ah, no, you know what you do. Ah, senior pastor, the senior. Ah, okay. But don't worry, fill the form first. So there's a form they used to fill in the church that they would submit to the senior pastor. The senior pastor approves it. They will now release funds for food. How much are we talking about? Some 400 naira, 500 naira, when Nigeria was still better. Praise God. 400 to 500 naira. I will feel form. I said, I'm hungry now. Did you know the meaning of now? It is now or I die. So, but I must wait for the senior pastor. Which eventually, when the senior pastor came, did not approve it. Abi. So, after this, it still did not approve it. Amen. So, how a man like that, when you say, ah, church is family. Come on, church is family. Church is one blood. We love ourselves. You don't be looking at it. It cannot relate. Hallelujah. It cannot relate. So for many reasons, people get angry at God as believers. But then we should realize that God's response to such is his knowledge. Hallelujah. Is his knowledge. Listen, it is not threats. It is, why are you talking to me this way? It is not, God, see, God is so, you know what we call good self-esteem? God has it in surplus. Hallelujah. Don't think God will say, me. It is removing nothing. Listen, it's the same way your praises do not add anything to God. Why do we praise God? Why do we praise God? So that he will remember all he did. Right? Or so that he will know we really valued it. Why do we praise God? Anybody? If we don't praise God, what will happen to God? If we praise God, what happens to him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God says, man, I'm only duro. Huh? You ginger God. What does he add to God? Nothing. Hallelujah. So why do we praise God? Paul and Silas, after praying, after singing, the Holy Ghost came down. Where was the Holy Ghost before? Why do we praise God? When you praise God, what happens to you? You are what? Ephesians in chapter 5. Colossians 3. Then we do Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll read from verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The word hymn there is the word praise. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens when we sing spiritual songs and hymns? We are filled with what? So our singing affects God or us? Hallelujah. Why were angels created? To serve God. Abi? Why were angels created? To run his errands, to serve him, to go to places he cannot go, or to go faster. Is the question? I'm asking a question. Why were angels created? Someone says, if not for many angels, Satan will have overthrown God. But before they get to him, you have to fight many angels. Hallelujah. Why were angels created? Hebrews 1. Angels were created for men. Angels were created for men. Hebrews in chapter 1. Angels were created for men. More specifically, angels were created for you and I. Men that will be heirs of God's salvation. Hebrews 1. Are you still here? I'm trying to let you see the greatness of God, so that you learn not to defend God in a wrong way. At all. When you see people getting mad at God, your concern should be about how to rescue them. Not respond to them in a way that shows, that makes it look as though God has lost his cool. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1, are we there? I'll read from verse 5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. Verse 13, let's all read together. But to which of the angels did he ever say, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do what? To minister for those who would inherit salvation. Hallelujah. Angels were created to minister for those who what? Inherit salvation. Angels were made for men. Glory to God. So God is complete in himself. Hallelujah. Such that you need to realize that in your worst moment as a Christian, throwing tantrums, getting angry at God, the only thing that is happening to you at that point in time is that the enemy is messing up your mind. Hallelujah. Devil is messing up your mind. And you need to empower yourself with the knowledge of where you stand with God. Your place. And I said to you, as long as you are a carrier of God's Spirit, you will never be separated from God. And because of that, the devil has no place. Amen. Now that's if you know. Because I'm a carrier of God's Spirit, I'm forever and eternally one with God. It won't change. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, which I said we should see earlier. It won't change. We are of God. Hallelujah. And God is for us. Glory be to God. I said we are of God. And God is for us at all times. Hallelujah. At all times. This is what it means to say we are justified. I'm going to show you today how the Old Testament saints enjoyed this reality. Glory to God. You see, if God is for a man, God is for him till the end. Glory be to God. God does not do halfway friendship. If God is for a man, God is with him till the end. Forever. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. Are we all there? Thank you, Jesus. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were what? You were sealed with the spirit of promise, which is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The spirit of God is the guarantee. Bible says we were sealed by this spirit. Let's put in our notes. The word sealed is the Greek word sphragizo. The word sealed is the Greek word sphragizo, which is spelled S-P-H-R-A-G-I-Z-O. The word sealed is the Greek word sphragizo, S-P-H-R-A-G-I-Z-O, which means to mark. It means to mark. Hallelujah. It means to mark. It also means to protect. Okay, sorry. It means to mark for security. Which means to mark for security. Imagine that. God has marked you for security. God has secured your life. Hallelujah. God has what? Secured your life. That's what Colossians 3 is about. And I'm going to quote you in a moment. So it means to mark for security. It also means to protect from Satan. It means to protect from Satan. Hallelujah. To protect from Satan. So there's no invading God's territory. Amen. That's why you cannot just walk out of the kingdom of God. You did not just walk in. Amen. Did you just walk into the kingdom? No. You couldn't have just walked in. There was a deliverance and a translation into the kingdom of his son. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus says at John chapter 10, verse 28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither is anyone able to what? Snatch them out of my hand. When it comes to the kingdom of darkness, kingdom of God, it's about a battle, a fight between both kingdoms. So Satan cannot just take you out. He has God to contend with. Did you hear that? Satan cannot just take you out of the kingdom of God. He has God to do what? To contend with. That was how Jesus contended against Satan. The Bible says, for this reason the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the power, that he might destroy the wicked one. He was made manifest. Likewise, the Son, Bible says, he has partaken of flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Hebrews 2, 11, 12. And release all through their life, all those who through their lifetime were subject to the fear of death. So there was a combat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bible says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made an open show of them. There was a combat and there was victory. Glory to God. So it is not that easy. You can't just walk into any kingdom. It's a fight. Hallelujah. So Jesus is now saying, based on his own authority, no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, God is holding you. Say to your neighbor, God is holding unto you. Say like a minute, God is holding unto you. And he is not letting go. Do you know what it means to say you are God's possessed possession? Or purchased possession? God bought you at a price. Hallelujah. You belong to God in a way that nothing else in this world belongs to God. God did not purchase or redeem any other thing except the man in Christ. So we are God's purchased possessions. We are not just God's creations. We are God's purchased possessions. We are prized. Hallelujah. Bible says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Spirit of God where the Holy Ghost dwells? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God owns you. He possesses you. Glory to God. So you see, there's a way God holds on to us. Hallelujah. Acts 20:28. Therefore, he was instructing the shepherds. He says, to feed the flock of God, among which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to shepherd them, which God purchased with his own blood. To shepherd the flock of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Glory be to God. Listen, guys, the believer is the best of all of God's creation. The best. And says, well, the heavens. You know this heaven you are trying to enter into? Do you know that one day this heaven will pass away? The current heaven and the earth will pass away. Hallelujah. Is it not in your Bible? The heavens and the earth that you are trying to enter, that you think you are not worthy to enter, it will pass away. And there will be new heaven and a new earth. Because that is not the best of God's creation. Hallelujah. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat us by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creations. What is first fruits? The flagship, the best there will ever be. So God will part with the heavens and the earth. He will not part with the believer. Because the believer is the flagship of all of God's creation. Wait. All of creation is waiting to enter into the glorious liberty we have been called into. All of creation is in bondage until now. All of creation is a slave to corruption. They are waiting to enter. That's why they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. See, we are the ones for whom Jesus created all things. Do you know in the Garden of Eden, everything created was created for man. So all of creation today is waiting for the liberty, the final unveiling of our redemption, so we can be free from corruption. In such a world, there will be no earthquakes. Hallelujah. There will be no famine. There will be no pestilence. Because right now, as it is, the whole of creation is a slave to corruption. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe the word. Hallelujah. I believe the word. This word is supernatural. I hope you know. This word is spiritual. There is more to life than meets the eyes. There's more. Glory to God. There's more. There's more. So, believers are men who deal with spiritual realities. Amen. Spiritual, they are so real to us. They are tangible. I can literally touch it. Glory to God. Because there's more to life than what meets the eye. There's more to life than what meets the microscope or stethoscope. Well, they have not been able to see heaven. Heaven with what? With their instruments, equipment. Who sent you? God is called the invisible. Hallelujah. It dwells in a light whom no man can approach unto. The invisible things of God cannot be seen by any man. Amen. But how do we know they are real? Because we can know them and we can experience them in the now. Though they are unseen, we can experience them. We can know them. We can experience them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's more to this life. Was it not yesterday? Roke was asking. He said, is it medically true that anybody or babies can live in the womb for over 9 months? He said the highest they've seen so far is what? How many months? 10 months, 11 months. Where's Samuel? How many months did you spend in your mother's womb? 12. Hallelujah. So, medical scientific conclusion, 10, 11 months. There's a brother in the midst, 12 months. Hallelujah. Science destroyed. Hallelujah. So, we said to her, there are those who were in the womb for over 2 years.
It's not possible. It's not scientifically proven. It is not medically researched. It's not, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Who is talking about science here? Praise God. Who is talking about science here? Aye. Hallelujah. Aye, a camera. Science, wow. 3 years in the womb. Man was carrying the baby everywhere. The baby had been born in the spirit. Amen. So, we have a relative like that. She spent 3 years in the womb. And when she was born, she came out with full set of teeth. She's still alive now. Full set of teeth. From the mother's womb. It's not scientific, I agree. It is spiritual. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, we used to have a relative. I don't know if and is a relative to Tobel, an elderly woman. I don't know if she's still alive now. There was a time when the mother of this particular person wanted to poison one of the people that were living with her, who was not her own child. So it was not poison as per you die. It was a charm. So they had given her the charm, and so she put the charm in a food for that other person. Now her own son came earlier and did not read the note, which one belongs to who. So she ate the one that, you know, they put the charm in. Her own son, her own child, a woman. You know what happened? She shrank. She shrank like a baby from that day. And you know, in her 70s, that was when my dad, my mom, that was when they were telling us the story of what happened. So this woman came back, saw what happened, and she had to confess of what she did. There was one baba in the village somewhere. It's not scientific. Amen. It is not medical. You can't prove it through any instrument. Amen. A broom, wipe it on your head, you run mad. It's not scientific. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's just 20 naira. They sell all those things. There's more to life than meets the eye. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Look at this now. We have an adversary. Amen. And the adversary is real. He's Satan. He's the devil. And the way he fights the believer the most is in the area of accusation. Accusations. Oppressing men through accusative words. Hallelujah. Ephesians in chapter 3, are we here? Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 6, and I'll start from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against what? Against what? Hello, church. Against what? And against what? Powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, are we wrestling against powers? Yeah. Principalities. Spiritual wickedness. Host of wickedness in the heavenly places. And it's a real fight. Hallelujah. But I'm saying to you, where the fight is hottest is in the place of accusation. The enemy is always seeking to demobilize people through accusation. Why? Because it's been established in righteousness that makes you far from what? Are we together? It's been established in righteousness that makes you far from what? We read in Isaiah 54. I'm asking for the exact word he used. It's been established in righteousness that makes us far from what? Oppression. So what do you think the devil will seek to fight the most? That knowledge of righteousness. That knowledge of righteousness. To a point where you have no confidence in your standing before God. Hallelujah. So the believer must be grounded in the knowledge of his righteousness. And you don't give room for the enemy's accusation. You don't give room. You dismiss the enemy. Glory be to God. John chapter 8. You dismiss the enemy. Because you know your place in Christ. You know God is for you. You know God has justified you. You know God has called you his own. You know God has marked you by his spirit. You belong to him forever. This knowledge empowers you against the adversary. Hallelujah. Against the adversary. Hallelujah. Listen, guys. Paul says, what if it's just my mind saying all those things? That's what we're saying. Your mind, if it is unrenewed, is a ground for the enemy to walk. It is going to walk through your unrenewed mind the most. So that's why knowledge is important. You embolden your mind through the knowledge of Christ. What the word says I am, who God says I am, I know it well. I dwell in it. To a point where my default response to every accusation is a knowledge of my righteousness. Hallelujah. Silencing the accuser. Not falling for it. Glory to God. You should have been writing, though. Praise God. So when I'm dictating, I'll do that. So let's go to... What did I say we should open? Huh? John chapter 8. The story of the woman that was caught in adultery. You see how Jesus demobilized the accusers. Amen. I want to share with you something today that should also empower you against the enemy. So when the enemy brings accusation, you have to remember something which we are going to pick from this. John 8. Hallelujah. John chapter 8, and I'll read from verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again in the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. So they came accusing the woman, seeking to also accuse who? Accuse Christ. Hallelujah. So these guys were yielding to the ministry of Satan to accuse. Amen. So, but Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his fingers, and as though he did not hear them. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him do what? Throw a first stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now let's write in our notes. The first thing to know about accusations. The first thing to know about accusations, or the ministry of accusations. First thing to note about accusations, or the ministry of accusations. First thing to note about accusation, or ministry of accusations, is that accusation is always done with words. Is that accusation is always done with words. It will be words, always. Things will be said. Hallelujah. Is that accusation is always done by words. Hallelujah. By words. And this means the place where accusation will take place the most. And this means the place where accusation will take place the most. The place where accusation will take place the most. For the believer is his mind. This means the place where accusations will take place the most. For the believer is his mind. Hallelujah. Is his mind. Glory to God. So listen, where are the fiery darts of the enemy coming to? The mind of man. He wants to weaken your convictions in the knowledge of righteousness. You also must stand your ground and say, "No, I'm the righteousness of God. Amen. I'm justified. Nothing can come between me and God." You must be empowered by the knowledge of that truth. So you are able to resist, because accusation will come to your mind. Hallelujah. So, but look at how Jesus dismissed this crowd. "He that is without sin, let him do what?" And what did they all do? Walked away. So that means, put in your note, the accuser is equally guilty. The accuser is equally guilty.
The accuser is equally guilty. When you understand, so two, how many things have we understood that will make us, you know, stand against the adversary? Number one, God is what? For us. Number two, the accuser is guilty. So imagine, sometimes you are guilty of something, and then somebody is shouting against you and, you know, insulting you based on that. But, you know, suddenly you just remember his own crimes too. Have you ever been in that situation before? Praise God. So that stuff emboldens you to silence the accusation. So who is the devil again? John 8:44. See how Jesus describes him. So it's in the same chapter that Jesus described the devil. Who is the accuser of the brethren? The one who stands behind every accusation. The truth is, on a normal day, the devil is not meant to be anyone. He's not meant to be one of the people pointing fingers. Hallelujah. His profile is too bad. Glory to God. John 8:44, are we there? Let's all read together. You have your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from where? From his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. Glory to God. Who is the devil again? A man who cannot stand in the truth. There is nothing truthful about him. Even when he quotes scriptures, it is to deceive. Glory to God. He cannot stand in the truth. See, he doesn't have the capacity to speak the truth. You know, a man can tell lies and then we say repent and speak the truth. The devil cannot repent. He cannot speak the truth. He's a liar and he's the father of it. When he speaks a lie, where is he speaking from? His own resources. Glory to God. That's why this idea of let's cut this devil some slack. You know, it's not the devil that is causing all these things. The devil has suffered though. People should own up. It does not make sense. The devil is the father of it. Hallelujah. A man can say, I was tempted. The devil cannot say he got tempted. By who? He is the tempter and the temptation. Glory to God. So, this is the profile of the one who goes about accusing men. Accusing men, accusing men. It doesn't make sense. Like somebody rightly said, if the enemy refers to your past, remind him of his future. Glory to God. You are going to hell. You and your company, you and your court, you are all going to be doomed on the last day. He has no grounds to accuse anybody. He is all darkness. Hallelujah. And we are light in the Lord. Hallelujah. So we can take our stand against him because we know who he is. And we know God is for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's start wrapping this up. Look at Hebrews. So I said to you that this knowledge empowered the Old Testament saints. It empowered them. They understood their place with God. And because of that, in spite of their flaws and their wrongs, they knew their place with God. I showed you how Samson would do all the wrongs. Those things are not our examples, amen. They are not examples for us. But we are saying, in spite of what he did, he never for one second guessed his place with God. That man will do wrong and still enter the camp of the Philistines and go and fight. As God's anointed. Glory to God. And he was fighting as though he had done nothing wrong. And the only time Samson was defeated was when he by himself let out the secret. Hallelujah. You know, because when you read Romans 11:29, it says the gift and the calling of God, they are without words. God does not withdraw that which he has given. So God was not going to withdraw the power or anything. He had given him. He was God's man. He was anointed a judge over Israel. In spite of his wrongs, God was always on his side. Hallelujah. So this was what they understood. Hebrews 11:13-16, as we begin to close. Hebrews 11:13-16. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Some of the people we have cast out of the church, we have, you know, talking down on, we have, you know, condemned in the church today, have a better way of living than many of the people we celebrate in Hebrews 11. The heroes of faith. Ah, heroes of faith. If you have lived with them, you would not have called them heroes of faith. By virtue of their character, at all. Amen. At all. So Hebrews 11, 13 to 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, let's all read together. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Say with me, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Jacob, you know the story of Jacob. Jacob defrauded his brother, right? After defrauding his brother through the connivance of his mother, defrauded his brother, went to his uncle's place to seek refuge. Before leaving the uncle, he defrauded the uncle, praise God, and left the uncle's place. That's the man. Bible says God is not ashamed to be called his God. Hallelujah. God is not ashamed to be called his God. How would you have behaved today? Let me ask you a question. You are walking through Computer Village. You now see Deola. They are beating Deola. What happened? She stole a phone. Would you be able to say she's my church member? No, I'm asking again. Would you be able to say, she's my church member? Isn't that the thing? You just go Facebook. Disclaimer. Anybody that steals in this church is not part of us. It has only been made manifest that they were never part of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, during the BBC Sex for Great thing, and I think the lecturer was a pastor of a church, and so, you know, they quickly came out and gave a disclaimer and all that. People rejoiced and rejoiced. Okay, yes, the church is taking, you know. I said, see, we don't hold the world any disclaimer. He has done what he has done. Now let's correct him. It's an in-house thing. So say, they had to say it so that they will know that the church was not a party to it. Did they see the GO sleeping with anybody? How were we a party to it before? Hallelujah. Do we preach people can sleep around? So why should you think we're about? That's your business. It's an in-house matter. Hallelujah. See, at that point in time, when they are beating this person for having done wrong, God is not ashamed to be called our God. You might be ashamed though. You might say, but God is not ashamed. Why? Because of faith. That's the only thing, though. These all died in faith. Bible says, because of that, God is not ashamed to be called their God. What makes God call you his own is not your actions or your attributes or anything. What makes God call you his own is the fact that you have faith in him. You belong to him. Glory to God. So at all times, God will gladly associate with you. Glory to God. And you see, when we learn this as Christians, we will not cast people away from us because of their works. At all. God is not ashamed. Let's write in our notes now. Look at the word ashamed. Let's write. The word ashamed is the Greek word spelled. The word ashamed is the Greek word spelled E-P-A-I. The word ashamed is the Greek word spelled E-P-A-I. S-C-H-U. S-C-H-U. E-P-A-I. S-C-H-U. N-O-M-A-I. N-O-M-A-I. Ashamed. E-P-A-I-S-C-H-U. N-O-M-A-I. N-O-M-A-I. M-A-I. N-O-M-A-I. Which means to not want to be associated with something or someone. That's the meaning. So when I say, would you still want to associate with this person? That's what I'm saying. That means at that point in time, you are ashamed of this person. Which means to be ashamed to be associated with something or someone. Hallelujah. So why is God not ashamed of you and I today? Because of our faith in Him. Hallelujah. Let this sink. Because of what? Again, because of what? Not because of your actions. It's not that the day you got it right, God now says, wow, I'm your God. And the day you miss it, God says, I'm not really His God. Praise God. The day you get it right, the day you miss it, God is not ashamed to be called your God. On the basis of faith. See how this is used everywhere. Look at 2 Timothy. Oh, sorry. Let's start from Mark 8:38. You see, it speaks of being not wanting to associate with somebody or someone. That's what it means to be ashamed. You don't want to be seen with them. You don't want to be known with them. Hallelujah. With all that Jacob did, he was still called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Not the God of Israel. You know, because Israel was like the repentant one. You know, it's the God of Jacob. Hallelujah. God is not ashamed. Mark 8:38. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Oh, hallelujah. Because, listen, because we don't know who God is. We have treated the church as a place where it's only for perfect people. Amen. Somebody gets pregnant in the church. We have a need to go and write on the board. We don't tolerate such things here. If you have seen it, just know that it was he's not really, maybe she has not gone through foundation class. Praise God. You know, we're trying to give disclaimers. See, at that point where this person has messed up and is obvious to everybody, we should not be ashamed to be known with that person. Hallelujah. At all. Because this is God's stance and God's position and God's disposition towards us. God is not ashamed. Amen. Your worst times come to church because God is not ashamed to be called your God. Hallelujah. You don't come to church where you think you perfected yourself, your acts are put together. That's not the only time you now feel cool and comfortable in church. Whether things are fine or not fine, God in this place is not ashamed to be called our God. Hallelujah. He's not ashamed. Till the end of time. Mark 8:38. Mark 8:38. Glory to God. Bible says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Whoever is ashamed of me is the man who does not want to associate with me in this generation. That's not having faith in Christ. Is that clear? Yeah. The man who is ashamed of Christ doesn't want to be known with Christ. Luke 9:26. That's how this word is used everywhere. So when the Bible says God is not ashamed to be called their God, it means God is not withdrawing from them for any reason. God is glad to associate with them. Hallelujah. Luke 9:26. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Glory to God. Look at this other place. Romans 1:16. Popular scripture. Can we all quote together? For I'm not ashamed of what? The gospel of Christ. What does it mean to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? To not want to be associated with, to not preach it. Glory to God. I'm not ashamed of it. Look at the next place. Romans 6:21. Romans chapter 6 and verse 21. Glory to God. Romans 6:21. Are we all there? Let's all read. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? You are now ashamed. Verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So he was talking about our past life. He now says, what fruit did you have for being slaves of sin? What fruit did you have then? And you know, those things, you are now ashamed of those things. You don't want to be seen with those things. Things that pertain to your past life. Glory to God. Not to be associated with them. 2 Timothy 1:8. God is not ashamed to be called our God because of faith. Hallelujah. Because of faith.
God is not a God that forsakes people the day they go wrong. No. He stays. Hallelujah. He's not ashamed. So you need to learn this of God. 2 Timothy 1:8. Are we all there? Bible says, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed of my testimony, of me, a prisoner. Don't withdraw now that I'm a prisoner. You know, some of those guys withdrew from Paul when he was arrested. They all went away. They didn't want to be called a friend of a prisoner. So Paul says, don't be ashamed. Don't withdraw. Be seen with me. Look at verse 12 of the same chapter. Verse 12. For these reasons I also suffer these same things, or these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep me, or keep what I have committed to him until that day. 2 Timothy, still there, verse 16. Look at this now. Let me read from verse 15. You see that some people ran away from Paul. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. So a man who was not ashamed to be seen with Paul while in his chains. Glory to God. Now back to Hebrews. You see that the writer of Hebrews used the same word for you and I. Someone says, well, you know, Hebrews 11 was really about the Old Testament saints. No, that's the same word the writer used for you and I. God is not ashamed to be called our own. God is not ashamed to call us his own. Today, only on the basis and the grounds of faith. Hebrews 2, verse 11. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2, 11, are you here? Let's all read together. Let me start from verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and whom and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11, let's all read together. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hallelujah. Jesus is not ashamed to call us what? Why is he not ashamed to call us brethren? Because he has sanctified us. Hallelujah. So we belong to him. So it is not on the basis of your actions. It is not on the basis of your works. It's on the basis of what he has done for you and I. God has justified us. God has sanctified us. God has washed us by the blood of Christ. And because of that, we belong to him on an eternal basis. Glory to God. And so God is not ashamed of us. Hallelujah. God is not ashamed of us. 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 God is not withdrawing from us. God is always going to be proud of us. Hallelujah. There is no reason why God will forsake us. Not one reason. And this is as a result of what he has done. We have been justified. We are the redeemed ones. Hallelujah. We are his precious possessions. Glory be to God. 1 Peter 2:9. Bible says, you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, his own special people. Glory to God. His own special people. His own special people. A chosen generation. God is always for us. God is always with us. Hallelujah. And he's never going to be ashamed of us. Glory be to God. Lift your hands and give him praise and just thank him. Lift your hands and give him praise. Do you believe this reality? Do you believe this reality? God is not ashamed of us. 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 God will never withdraw from us on the basis of faith. Faith alone. Bible says in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Their good report was a result of their faith. Nothing else. They obtained a good report by their faith. By their faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is the reason why we are justified. And faith is the reason why God is associated with us. Faith is the reason why God will never dissociate from us. Faith. Nothing but faith. Nothing but faith. Nothing but faith. Lift your hands and give Him praise. Nothing but faith. Nothing but faith. Nothing but faith. God is not ashamed to be called my God. God is not ashamed to be called my God. On my good days, on my bad days, God is not ashamed to be called my God. Oh Lord. God is not ashamed to be called your God. God is not ashamed to be called your God. We are His pride. We are the trophy of His work. We are the fruit of His labor. Bible says He shall see the result of His fruit, the fruit of His labor rather, and be satisfied. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of God. There was a joy set before Jesus. It is the joy of bringing many sons into glory. It is the joy of bringing many sons into glory. It is the joy of bringing many sons into glory. We are the fruit of His labor, the result of His work, the reward of the travail of His soul. Jesus is trophy. Jesus is trophy. God is not ashamed of us. God is not ashamed of us. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the God of the new creature. He's not ashamed of us. God is 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 not ashamed of me. God is not ashamed of us. God is not ashamed of us. Give Him praise. Lift your hands boldly. God is my God. He is my God. He is my God. He is my God. He is my God. Is my God. Jesus said, go lo and behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. Is with us always. Is with us now. John 16, I'll give you another helper, and He would abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. But you know Him because He dwells with you, and He shall be in you. John 14, 23. Whosoever loves me, I and my Father will come to him and make our home with him. God is for us. God is on our side. God is not ashamed to be called our God. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. His love is steadfast towards you. His grace is steadfast towards you. His mercies are steadfast towards you. God's love is the same, constant, every day, unchangeable, unchanging, unchanged. It's immutable. The love of God is deep. Same love shown us in Christ Jesus. Romans 8. God's love has been shown us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. For God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Listen up, everyone. On the road to spiritual maturity, people make mistakes. People trip, go wrong, miss their way on the way to spiritual growth, maturity. That is the reason for such teachings like this. Hallelujah. Such teachings like this are not for the sake of empowering or, you know, inspiring people to go all their way and just lose their way and anything, or just, you know, throw caution to the wind. No, it is because, see, on the path to spiritual maturity, people make mistakes. Nobody gets it all right in a day. And for such times, you need to realize, you need to remember what God has done in Christ Jesus. You need to remember that God will not silence or dismiss the accuser on your behalf. It is your call. Hallelujah. It is your duty. It is something you have to do. It is something you must do every day. How do I do this? I reinstruct my mind. Hallelujah. I reinstruct my mind with the word of God. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Quickly. I reinstruct my mind with the word of God. I reinstruct my mind with the word of God. And also helps you to know how you ought to restore people in their walk. When you find a believer that has lost his way, there is a manner and an approach to restoring such men in their walk with God. You don't go accusing them. You don't go talking down on them. You lend a helping hand. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you're going to be yielding yourself to the ministry of the accuser. 1 John chapter 3. Look at this. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John chapter 3. Ooh, hallelujah. And I'll read from verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. We shall do what? Assure our hearts before Him. Verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So, is it possible for a man's heart to condemn him? But what is John saying? He says, we shall do what? We'll assure our hearts before Him. I must believe the report of God over the condemnation I feel in my heart. Hallelujah. He says, if our hearts condemn us, God is what? Greater. That is, the report of your mind at that point in time is not the same report of God. So even if my heart condemns me, I would assure my heart before God. Hallelujah. With the word of God. I stay with what the word says about me. God's word concerning me is the final verdict. Hallelujah. It's the final verdict. That is the verdict that matters. That is the verdict that will not change. It will be the same at all times. Glory to God. Do you know that the word of God to us is the mind of God? Someone says, what is God thinking about me? What is what He's saying? That is the mind of God. Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Who is he that would counsel God or instruct Him? Bible says, but we have the mind of Christ. And when He says we have the mind of Christ, it speaks of God's revelation to you and I. The knowledge of Christ. That is the mind of Christ to us. Hallelujah. So I know what God is thinking about me. I'm not trying to find out through other means. I just consult the word of God. God's word is constant. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, do not be carried about by various and strange doctrines. It is good for the heart to be established by grace and not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied by them. Hebrews 13, 8 and 9. So God's word will be constant because Christ Himself is constant. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and thank Him and give Him praise. His word. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Go ahead and thank Him and rejoice in Him. Give Him praise. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Oh yes, Jesus. No, no. Yeah. Go ahead and bless His name. Come on now, bless His name. Bless the Lord of my soul and forget not His benefits. Bless the Lord of my soul. Yeah, yeah. ahead, give him praise. Let your praises well up in this place right now. Tani tani keno no no turi giba shada ba teria tila grena magena magala teria tila gya ndela blale yata. Jita la blale yoro dono skuvele gela teria tala grena moni ane nonyes. Oh Jesus. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Yeah. Sing like never before. And hold my soul. I worship His holy name. Sing like never.
Voices.
Oh, you have made me.
You have pure and holy Jesus.
Pure and holy.
Perfect and true.
Perfect and true.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
I am believing.
I am believing.
Sanctuary, Jesus.
Sanctuary.
For you.
One more time.
Said you have made me.
You have made me.
A sanctuary.
Pure
and holy, Jesus.
Pure and holy.
Perfect and true.
Perfect and true.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
I am believing.
I am believing.
Sanctuary, Jesus.
Sanctuary.
For you. The presence of the Lord is in this place.
The presence of the Lord is in this place.
Oh, the glory of the Lord is in this place.
The glory of the Lord is in this place.
Oh, the power of the Lord is in this place.
The power of the Lord is in this place.
The presence of the Lord is in.
The glory of the Lord is in
this place. Oh, and the power of the Lord is in this place.
I can see
His power over me. His anointing, yeah.
Pray the Holy Ghost now. Quickly go ahead and pray the Holy Ghost. Let's be open to ministry in this place. Shut up.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.